Please sit down and turn back to that first reading from 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. I've forgotten the page, but shout it out if you get there first. Two hundred and fifty in the New Testament in the Church Bibles. Please excuse my lateness to this service. I was leading and preaching at the 8:30 at Pot Shrigley, who are without a vicar still at the moment. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you speak to us as we read the Bible. And we pray that your voice and your message may be written in our hearts and lived out in our lives for your name's sake. Amen. Well, we've got to the second section of Peter's first letter, in which we see that Christianity is about transformation. Knowing Jesus transforms us. And Peter talks about how we are different because God is at work in us and in the world. So our second section of Peter's first letter. The first section, last time, introduced the new birth into a living future hope which Christians are given. And the joy and genuine faith which comes with Christians' present trials. And the salvation which was promised through the Old Testament and is now ours through Jesus. These are things for which Peter blessed the Lord. They're such good things. And these things transform us. They change us for the better. Peter expects our future hope, our present trials, and our promised salvation to change us. So at the beginning of verse 13, he says, "Therefore, prepare to be different." Well, that's a precy, but you'll see what he says. Verse 13, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Be different. Be changed. And change comes first in our thinking and then in our doing. Prepare your minds for action, verse 13. And change comes as we put our hope in Jesus' grace. Jesus gives graciously so that we are not the same. We are transformed. And in verse 14, Peter makes the point, "Do not be conformed to your old desires, but be transformed. Be holy, set apart, different, like God is different." Now, many people in our society might say the way to change is self-improvement. Certainly the bookshops and the websites have lots of stuff on self-improvement. And one or two things which Peter writes may even sound like self-improvement slogans. Prepare your minds for action, discipline yourselves. But Peter is not talking about self-improvement. If we rely on our own resources, we so often fail. And in the end, we always fall short. The transformation which Peter is talking about is brought by Jesus. He graciously gives it. And it comes by aiming high, being holy like God is holy. We aim high, and by God's grace, we are changed. Because of what Jesus has done, we are transformed. And that's the message of the next little section, 17 to 21. What Jesus has done changes us for the better. In 17, Jesus tells us, it's Jesus who tells us to call God Father. And it's Jesus who shows us that God will be a judge who is clear and fair to all. And so, as we believe Jesus, we are changed into people who respectfully fear him. Maybe we used to be dismissive about God, took God rather lightly. But now Jesus has shown us he is worthy of respect and ready to be our judge, and so we're transformed into those who respectfully fear him. What Jesus has done transforms us. In 18 and 19, Jesus' self-sacrificing death pays the ransom to set us free. To set us free from our futile worship of money and wealth. What Jesus has done transforms us. And in verses 20 and 21, Jesus has been revealed to us so that we are changed into people who trust God and put our faith and hope in God. What Jesus has done changes us for the better. That is the way in which we are transformed, not self-improvement by our own efforts, but profound transformation through Jesus and our response to what he has done. Well, verses 22 and following tell us more of the transformation we should expect. In verse 22, it says our souls have been purified as we have obeyed the truth. And because we are Christians, this purification happens within us. Purification is about impurities being removed. I think it was Christine a few weeks ago that talked about gold or silver being purified by being made very hot. And then as it's a liquid metal, that the impurities come to the top and they're swept off. Impurities removed. And as our impurities are removed, this helps our love for one another to be genuine and mutual and deep. Because of Jesus, we are not satisfied with shallow. Love one another deeply. Serve one another deeply from the heart with self-giving love. And we're changed in a more remarkable way, verse 23. So remarkable it can't be described as a completely new start in life. When we become Christians, we're born anew. Because now we have eternal life. We are of imperishable seed, not perishable. So Jesus has enabled a truly profound transformation in us. And as we receive his word and trust what it says, we are transformed as well as born again. The eternal word of the Lord brings us eternal life, and our response, our right response, is gratitude and profound transformation. Finally, in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we're told some more about the transformation which Jesus brings. Here are some of those impurities we are to be rid of in 2 verse 1. And the growth and change that we are to experience, verse 2. You see that list in verse 1. Malice, well, it says, rid yourselves therefore of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Malice is what? is bad feeling and bad intentions towards others. Guile is what? I think it's underhand manipulation of a situation or a person. Insincerity, not saying what you think, nor doing what you say. Envy is an unhealthy jealousy of others. Slander is making up lies about people or telling half-truths to put others in a bad light. These things are things to be rid of. If we want to be holy as God is holy, there is no place for these things. Not even a little of these things. Can you see Peter makes the point? Rid yourselves therefore of all malice, all guile, sincerity, envy, all slander, every kind. If we have tasted that the Lord is good, if we are Christians, we will be transformed in these ways. It's part of how Jesus changes us. And then in verse 2, Peter returns to that picture of being born again and sort of develops it. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Babies who've just been born want good milk. They let you know that they want good milk. Every hour or two, morning, noon, and night. Those of us who have been born anew and become Christians by the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us should crave pure spiritual milk. The things which help us to grow, to change and develop according to the work of our Savior. To be transformed and grow because we are saved. Transformation. That is what it's about, Peter is saying. Jesus gives us hope, and hope transforms us. Jesus gives us faith and trials. And this testing proves our faith to be genuine and we are transformed. Jesus gives us belief in his word, his promises, which helps us to see things so differently. And start to do things so differently. That's Christian transformation. Now, Peter knew only too well how his life had been changed for good, transformed. And his letter shows that he encourages and expects the same transformation for all Christians, including us. Be holy. As the Lord is holy. Don't aim low, aim high. Be transformed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this letter. We thank you for all your scripture. And we pray that this letter may be helpful in building us up as your people. Leading us on as your people, and changing us to be more and more as you would wish. Amen.